I need to tell you a secret. One bad moment doesn't have to ruin your day. No, really, it doesn't. One bad day doesn't have to ruin your week. You get to decide what gets power over you. So breathe, reset, and keep going. Welcome, 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 everyone. I am Na'ama, host of Spells on Ourselves, and today I have such a guest for you, you would not believe. So this is the biggest name in fitness that I've had on my humble little podcast thus far, and I'm so grateful to do it. Just a little backstory. So as everybody knows who's listened to my now three podcasts, I am on multiple journeys. I don't do things in small. I go big or go home. So of course I'm on like a personal spiritual journey, and I'm on a health journey, and I'm on a self-development journey and a business journey. And my health journey by and large has been the hardest of my life. I have had issues growing up with my mother, with food addiction, having been dragged to Weight Watchers with her, having struggled with my health and movement, and having a loving relationship with my body and with movement and with nutrition. And as an adult, it came very clear to me that I needed to get a handle on it. I've battled food addiction, and I've worked through a lot of major struggles. And the one thing that I've come to understand from our social media verse of fitness gurus is that some of them have the secret sauce and some of them don't. And it is not anything to do with how much they are Photoshopped, turns out. It actually has to do with their inner character, go figure. Mm-hmm. And that secret sauce, as far as I can tell, is the actual language of mastery that they have somehow ingrained in themselves. They have figured out the right phrase at the right time, the right statement to say to themselves when they're down, when they just don't wanna. And I am obsessed. I need to know what these spells are. So it just so happened that my higher power went, hey, guess what? Since you were a dyed-in-the-wool pagan for 20 years, and then you eventually came back to Judaism, I'm going to hit you with a clue by four. And since you're already trolling the podcast world, looking for more and more information on self-mastery, I'm just going to drop this little podcast in front of you. So it happens to be one day I'm scrolling and I find Witchy Wellness Within. And I'm like, the hell? What does this mean? Fitness and witchcraft together? Turns out my guest has not only figured out her secret sauce for her own success, having competed on the national bodybuilding stage, for God's sake, and having been able to bring herself from where she started to an incredible place now, but she somehow, I don't know how she's done it, she has managed to figure out how to ritualize, how to empower herself and her clients and her listeners, who she's never met, to take all the beautiful, juicy things that make ritual ritual, that help us enrapture ourselves, and apply it to our health journey. That is the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And as soon as I saw the podcast, I got smacked in the head with that clue by four. I started listening immediately. And the first three episodes in, as you probably can guess, I was crying like a baby for every single one of them. Like, one of them I had to pull over because I was listening in the car. And this message just became so incredibly clear to me. She knows how to get us through our trauma to the other side, using magic, using witchcraft, using ritual, using this incredible power of cognitive behavioral shifting and all this amazing juicy goodness. And she's turned it into this beautiful modality. So I had to have her on my podcast. I had to. So I asked a couple times. She was very kind. She said yes. And so I'm selfishly bringing her here. And without further ado, I want to welcome my incredible guest, Emily Flood.
Hi. Thank you so much for that incredible introduction. And, you know, everything that you're saying about spells on ourselves, like what I'm saying about myself, like all of that, that is the subconscious mind, the things that we say to ourselves in those really hard moments. And so, and that's where the ritual and magic come in. So it's perfect.
I just adore that. So you are the founder of Fitness Witchcraft.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So we're going to put a pin in that, y'all. So don't get ahead of us. First, I need to know, give us your origin story. Like every heroine in every epic has an origin story. What's your origin story?
Yes. So I have a background with, you know, diagnosed ADHD, neurodivergent, diagnosed anxiety, depression, all of the things. And the fitness journey is something that came a little bit more naturally than the mental health aspect. It kind of, the gym turned into my therapy type of thing, but then I took it to the extreme with like disordered eating. If I didn't have my exact food, then I would have a panic attack. Right.
Right.
And so I think my origin story for fitness witchcraft really started in the midst of a narcissistic abusive relationship when I was tapping more into my paganism, witchiness, my spiritual practice, because the more that I tapped into my magic, the more that I grew my intuition. Your intuition comes from your body. And so I was trusting my body more and more. And because like the fitness side came a little bit more naturally when the Morrigan came into my life, it blending it just made so much sense. Except eventually, as I found out later, she was really there to help guide me out of that narcissistic abusive relationship. And in the kind of mess of the aftermath of trauma, when you're looking around, you're like, I don't trust anyone. I don't feel safe anywhere. I had my guides. And it was through that process of almost feeling like maybe I was crazy. Maybe I shouldn't tell my therapist about all of this, that I really developed this methodology of no, like the magic, working with guides, shamanic journeying, the rituals, that helped me to grow a whole heck of a lot faster than someone should necessarily after that trauma.
Really? Okay. So you're saying that had the average, I'm doing air quotes, average person healed from a narcissistic relationship exclusively with therapy, and then maybe like going to the gym just because they love the gym, you're saying that that healing process might have taken longer than you leveraging your personal deity and your guides and doing it in a shamanic way.
Yes, because because I did go to therapy after, and I felt so dependent on my therapist, which again, I'm not here to say anything bad about therapists. It was wonderful, but I felt like they were the only person I could trust. And so then when something would happen in my life, I'd be like, okay, I've got to wait to talk to my therapist about this because she's going to know what to do. But when you work with guides, they're that other resource that you can access at any time. You don't have to wait for your therapist, even though your therapist is there to help you, but it helps you to come back into self-sovereignty. Because in order to get those messages from your guides, you are the one receiving it. So you are building your own intuition, and it's kind of a roundabout path to trusting yourself again, which is ultimately what we need to do after trauma, to trust that we are now the kinds of people who have learned and can keep ourselves safe.
Wow. I was literally just talking about this with a client earlier today, and I tell people all the time, like, I'm not altruistic. Everything I coach somebody else, I'm really coaching myself too. And this necessity to return to self-sovereignty, return to body sovereignty, and return to self-trust. For some of us, that's like a decades long backpedal, but like it's a decades long trip that we had to go to get to that. So do you think in terms of your origin story that you were always sort of like set up to go the fitness route and to cultivate that in a magical way? Or did you like trip and fall into it? Like, how did that happen?
So funny enough, I really didn't start to like any type of movement or fitness until spirituality was added in. And so like way back before the bodybuilding journey and everything, I found yoga, and I found a style of yoga that really brought in the Yoga Sutras, all of the spirituality elements of yoga. And I found that like the vinyasa flow style of it felt like a ritual. And I really started to like that. And that was when then I kind of joke that it's like the gateway drug into fitness, because then I started to like moving my body. I liked how my legs felt strong because I was doing the warrior poses. And then because I liked feeling strong, then I started to like going to the gym. But it originated with that blending of spirituality. And that was where I started to like it.
So for those folks that are not super familiar with vinyasa when you're describing things like a sun salutation where you're lifting your arms up and you're inhaling intentionally, and then you're slowly bending your body forward and exhaling. That felt ritualized to you.
Oh yeah, there was so much energy work in it, and like the style, I did my yoga teacher training before all of this, you know. And the style, the way I was taught to teach yoga was very ritualistic, where you're visualizing things during the workout, where like when I'm thinking about it now, it's like the entire yoga flow was like a spell that you were doing with your body.
Oh, I love that. So, and I don't disagree with you either. I think that that's absolutely one of the like the pinnacle things you can do is if you're moving your body and it really feels like a spell. So I am curious, did you, when you were going through this process and learning, were you saying things to yourself in the moment, or was it more that you were trying to shut off your mind and just be embodied?
It was a little bit of both because, you know, when I was getting started with this journey, I didn't know what I knew today about about the subconscious mind or about the nervous system. And so I knew I had all this anxiety in college, and like the only thing that would shut it up was either yoga or alcohol. And well, I didn't like how I felt even more anxious after alcohol. So yoga, it definitely was a way to shut my mind up in the beginning, which that is where fitness can get a little bit disordered. And that's why I swung in the opposite pendulum towards most fitness influencers do, where they have these incredible physiques, but they have a lot of disordered eating behaviors, and that they're not necessarily mentally healthy with it, because when we're using the fitness or the or yoga as a way to block out the thoughts because we're scared of them, that's where we can go a little too far.
I love that. And you're completely right. I agree with you. I also found yoga first before I found anything else. I also discovered like this is for sure something that makes sense for me. And it really did help me shut things out. And it really did help me silence my brain. And at the same time, like, what good does that do? Like, as soon as the session's over and I get back in the car, oh, great. I'm back to those thoughts again. What am I supposed to do? Oh, it's very challenging. It's very challenging. So at what point did you sort of figure out how to coalesce all of this into a system? How did you do that?
Oh, there was a lot of trial and error, but it was when I was doing more rituals with my guides and the Morrigan and pulling tarot cards and realizing that they were always saying supportive things that I didn't fully believe, right? After I believe after trauma, like we tend to repeat the same things that our abuser said about us in our own heads. So then
Absolutely.
we Yeah. And so, in a way, like we continue the abuse on our own in our heads. And so, I was calling myself selfish. I was too much, but also not good enough. And like all of those thoughts. And then, when I would speak with the Morrigan, she would be like, no, that's not it. Like, here you are in the future. Here's what you're supposed to do with fitness witchcraft. And I would like see in these shamanic journeys and these altered states of consciousness, I would be like, there's no way that's me. But I would get out of those shamanic journeys feeling like a different person and like maybe like 2%, like, well, shit, maybe that is me. And slowly and steadily over time, it started to like chip away at the self-doubt to where, okay, maybe I don't know if I can do that much, but I can have a little bit of impact. And I started changing the way that like I thought about myself and changing the words that I said to myself. And it really has to go deeper into that subconscious level, because a lot of the mindset work and affirmations is so much more on the conscious level. It doesn't sink in deep enough to change that
It
inner
doesn't.
dialogue.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's one of the things when I first got certified in NLP, I was like, how much of my subconscious is steering the ship? Jesus Christ. What's the point of any of this affirmation crap? Like, it's not gonna work because my subconscious is running the show. It's a lot to shift. It's a lot to shift. Did you find that you had to write your own manual for all of this for yourself, or did you find good resources that worked for you?
It was a blend of things. So
Yeah.
I've learned things from people who coach therapists, right? There were little tools that I learned there, but they were missing this element. I learned
Right.
things from a lot of Carl Jung and depth psychology. I learned things there and
Yeah.
I was like, oh, but then they're missing this health element here. And really an amalgamation of all of the mentors and I mean, collectively investing over $100,000 into my own business, into my own learning that
Wow.
created this methodology, but then of course testing it on myself and then of course needing to test it on clients to see if they were able to get the exact same results, and they were.
That's incredible. I mean, it's one thing to like do self-mastery. That's like the ultimate of human creation, but to be able to take it and duplicate it with other people and have them get the same results is amazing. So I am curious, was there a specific moment where your mindset shifted, where you were like, no, I need to change this inner dialogue here?
Yes. So there was one shamanic journey in a float tank in particular where, right after narcissistic abuse, I immediately repeated the narcissistic abusive pattern where instead of a dude, it was some really shitty friends at a gym. And because I had that
Oh.
bodybuilding background, like the only place that I felt safe was the gym and home. And so the only place I was going was the gym. And so I very much latched on to it. And of course, my subconscious saw these people as safe because that was my pattern.
Right.
And there was at one point in the spring, and I was trying to build this business. I was really trying so hard, and it didn't seem like anything was working. And I thought people were going to call me crazy for fitness witchcraft. And
Right.
there was a moment where I was like, no, like when I have reached my goals, I'm going to feel limitless. Like there's nothing that I wouldn't be able to do. And so I went in and I did a shamanic journey and I asked my guides, how can I become the type of person who is limitless? And they told me, they it was a very it was an extreme kind of journey, but they told me, Emily, then your limited self needs to die. And
Yeah.
I saw myself falling down to the lower world. One of my guides,
Right.
Thanatos, who's the Greek personification of death, was like, okay,
Death.
now you have to die. And in that visualization, he made me fight him because I was clinging so hard to these friends from the
Yes.
gym,
Yes.
even though I knew that they weren't good for me. And I was holding onto them so tight. And so he made me fight him until, you know, I was dead in this visualization. And then I was reborn as my limitless self. And what they told me was that, Emily, your limitless self is actually a goddess. And in that moment, I was like, oh man, I'm not going to be able to tell people about this. They're going to think I'm crazy. But like the next part of the
No.
journey, then I was kind of sitting in like my goddess throne room and needing to see all of these things that had happened to me, I say in air quotes, and how they
Right.
were actually serving me towards my growth. And like almost as if it was a trial to see if I was worthy of having that limitless like goddesshood. And I started to see all of these things from this overhead perspective of like, okay, maybe I did repeat this abusive relationship pattern, but I see how it's serving me because it's going to help me to become a better mentor and it's going to help me with this and like creating that neutrality that a god or a goddess would need to have in order to rule. And I got out of that float tank and I was just like, holy shit, something just clicked inside me. And
Wow.
it took a little bit of time for that shift to fully solidify.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I dyed my hair. I started adding these blue streaks to my hair right after
Yeah.
that so that I could start to visually see a difference and like, no, I'm a different person than that person who made all of those decisions back in those abusive relationships.
Right. That's incredible. Wow. It's so interesting because you're describing a very, very no normal, we're doing air quotes like nonstop in this podcast, people, like normal hero's journey. Like, this is a cultural standard across the planet. When we reach that low point, when we reach that deep need, something happens to us, whether it's a hurricane, a flood, an earthquake, a shamanic vision, a rite of passage, a ceremony, something ends up happening and shifting everything for us. And you took it and you ran with it. And I just adore that. And I adore that for you because you were able to take it and learn from it. Some people would be scared shitless and go, oh no, I can't. Oh no, I'm crazy. Check me in. Check me in. And you did it. And you were like, no, I'm actually going to see through this. I'm going to see the metaphor in this. I'm going to see the meaning in this. I love that. I also had two similar experiences myself, very, very different years apart. One was in 2010. I had an NDE. And I was down for 2 straight minutes. My heart stopped. And I got to go all the way home. And that's a story for another time. But years later, 5 years later, I ended up in a ceremony. I was conducting a red tent for, I want to say probably 50 women. And out of nowhere, never having had a patron deity in my life, I was just a straight up boring, plain vanilla pagan. Out of nowhere, I get tackled in this group ceremony by Sekhmet. And
Ooh.
like the lion goddess of war and death. And like I get pummeled and like go through this whole a lot of what you're describing. And literally I died in this vision. And I screamed out loud. Everyone came out. Everyone's like, what happened? Because I always held it together in the middle, you know, and it was like bananas. I had to ex like we cannot exist in two places at once. And if we want something, like it's so cliche, if we want something we've never had, we have to become someone we've never been. And you clearly did that. That's so powerful. Wow. So did you notice either in that moment or maybe before or after, what was your self-talk like? How did it shift for you?
It shifted very rapidly because, after that float tank, right, then some thoughts would come up for my old self. And but I was able to recognize, wait, that's not me anymore. That's like the echoes of a past Emily. And like we're grateful for her, but I would like notice those thoughts and I would stop them. And so I wouldn't run with like the you're selfish, you're too much, all of those thoughts anymore. I would stop them and I'd be like, wait, no, I would touch my nose like I'm doing here in this
Okay,
audio,
so you
bringing it into
physically
the
touch your
physical.
nose. Okay.
Yeah, as kind of a pattern interrupt. And I would be like, no, Emily, you're limitless. Like you just heard this. And then, in those moments of doubt, I would ask my guides again. They would give me advice. I would do more rituals. And it was like when you're down there in that dark hole, that the rituals and the shamanic journey, it like gave me the ladder. And then I still had to keep climbing and making
Right.
sure that I wasn't going to suddenly release my hands and fall back down the pit. But it gave me the
Right.
tools to then actually change those subconscious thought patterns.
That's such a beautiful metaphor. Because the ladder, I don't know about your experience, the ladder for me was always 10 times longer than I thought it was going to be. And like I whoopee, I got the ladder and I thought like next day I'd be out. And no, you have a lot of climbing to do. And there's a lot of rungs on the ladder. And what you're describing is so lovely because, and you probably know this, like just for those folks, for those folks who are listening, when we're talking about translating mental to translating thoughts and emotions into a somatic experience, Emily's talking about physically translating that into a pattern interruption by touching the tip of her nose. For me, I will also, I don't know how this happened, I also touch the tip of my nose. Sometimes I will touch my lips. Sometimes I will rub my fingers together. But what she's describing is drawing herself into presence by physically involving her body into the mind-body conversation. Because what, and tell me if I'm wrong, what's happening in those moments of self-talk is your amygdala is activating and telling you something's unsafe. And so by you activating your mind-body as a unit by the nose touch or lick your lips or touch your fingers, you are taking control and saying, no, amygdala, actually, I know better than you. And slowly integrating that new pattern of behavior as that lovely ladder metaphor of every rung I grab is me touching my nose, is me saying, no, you're wrong, is me saying, no, I am a goddess. And that's so fantastic.
And I wanted to add on to that ladder metaphor, right? Because sometimes we think that we're going to get to the destination of healed, of we're done, we're self-sovereign, we're this, but actually there is no end point to growth. And so it's almost like maybe you're in the basement, right? And the ladder gets you up to the ground level, but actually you can go another level up and like you're actually in a skyscraper. And so let's say that like the penthouse is like the last year of your life and like you can continue to keep growing and growing, and there's going to be new challenges at every single level that are going to test you and make almost sometimes make you feel like you're going backwards. But it's just like a video game where there's a new boss battle at each level of the skyscraper.
Get out of my head. I literally coach people with that same language. Like you're not dying. You're just at a new boss battle. It's fine. We're gonna figure this out. New boss battles mean you get a new weapon.
Exactly. And that's been something where, as I've grown this business and this methodology, right, there's new things that pop up. Now that my TikToks are taking off, now I get trolls commenting. And then I make a post on Facebook and someone says this nasty word about me and this nasty word. And it's sometimes the same words that my ex used to say about me. And so it's like creating new levels of nervous system safety in order to keep growing and spreading this impact.
And you're consciously choosing to remind yourself that this is you mastering your nervous system as well.
Yes.
There's a
This is
lot of,
just the
it
next
sounds like
level.
a lot of intentionality about the things you're saying. So, like, is there a phrase or a mantra or an internal script that you tend to repeat to yourself, maybe when you push through like a setback or a troll or a tough workout or something, maybe like one for a workout, one for a troll. What do you say to yourself?
So there's lots of different ones that I have, but for the most part, it's that every challenge I come across is an opportunity that's helping me to grow, because I truly believe that the universe, my guides, source, whatever you want to call it, they're on my side. And so even if something doesn't go the way that I want it to, I choose in that moment to be like, nope, this is still something that is working out for me. And this challenge is going to help me to level up so that I am the kind of person where I can reach my goals. And I don't think I tell myself I probably wouldn't have been able to reach my goals without this challenge.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, dear listeners, which is the same thing you've heard me say a bajillion times, is Emily is reframing. She is reframing an event or a troll, jerk face, internet schmuck who is saying something mean, and she's taking it and saying to herself, literally, I couldn't hit the next level without this. I have to overcome this to get to that next level. That's so friggin' awesome. Ugh, I love that. I love
Thank
that.
you.
Do you have any? I know it's cliche, but like there's like just do it, or like, I'm powerful. Like, do you have any of those? Any of those kinds of spells or mantras?
Yes, I have several that I use. One that I've used as a mantra for a while is I am the kind of person who, and I insert whatever goal that I'm working towards, right? And so I will visualize that of like, okay, if I'm the kind of person who does this, then this is a piece of cake. Like if I truly am that person, then this is nothing. And even though it feels like something in the moment, I am the kind of person who statement helps me to ground into that new identity. And of course, it's also teaching my subconscious that I am that person, because my subconscious doesn't know what's real and what's altered reality. And it helps me
Absolutely.
to get closer to that person every day.
Oh my God, I love that. So, big reminder, everybody, I am statements are incredibly powerful. Anything that comes out of your mouth that follows I am, your brain thinks is true. And if you say,
Yes.
I am late, I am tired, I am sick, I am boring, I am unlovable, your brain thinks it's true, which is why there's that quote. Whether you believe you are whether be you believe you can or you believe you cannot, you are right. So she's describing this beautiful I am affirmation. And I love that, again, the reframing of I am the kind of person who, because that means she's cultivating a total identity. And I've been struggling with that myself. And I just adore that. I hope you people are taking notes here. Okay. this is gold. These are pearls. Okay. Write it down. All right. Mm-hmm. So another question. So let's say we've got a brutal workout. Let's say you feel like you got to do like a whole body circuit. I don't even know all the lingo, but like exercising from your hair to your toenails. And it's just exhausting. If we could hear like your internal dialogue, what spell are you casting on yourself in that day, in that hour or two?
So immediately what comes to mind, if I know that I'm about to have to do a grueling workout that I do not want to do, that is when I would call on the Morrigan or any other. I think a war goddess is great here, but any deity at all. And I would be like, you know, I don't use any specific framework. I would just in very like mundane words be like, please, the Morrigan, help me. I lend me your warrior goddess energy. Help me to get through this workout. And I would probably put on, you know, look up on Spotify, a playlist for the Morrigan or some witch playlist. And that's I smart. Would visualize that warrior goddess energy running through me the entire workout almost as an offering to her. And that when I'm thinking about giving up, it's like, no, right here, this is my battlefield. And I do truly believe that the gym has been a training ground for me growing my business and reaching my other goals. Because if I can bench press 175 pounds, which is more than I weigh, and I could get to that and I could push myself through all of those shitty workouts with sweat dripping down my body, then I can do anything.
Wow. I am just sitting with that right now. Because that's been a dream of mine to bench press more than I weigh, to squat more than I weigh, to somehow figure out how to use every machine in the gym. and I have not been able to do all three at all. But I'm getting there. I can run 3 minutes without wanting to die on the treadmill. Like that's something. In my philosophy, it's more like baby steps still count.
Oh, but yes, they do.
I just am sitting with this comprehension, this visual. You just painted such a beautiful picture of like, and I'm showing my age, obviously. I'm imagining Xena Warrior Princess stepping into the gym with her chakram and her leather and like, and like attacking, you know, the chest press machine or whatever. And you're saying you're literally offering this on the altar of your health to your deity, saying you matter so much to me and I matter so much to me. I am putting in my 110% in this moment, in this gym space for you, for me, so that I can further worship you, so that I can further improve and do the thing you put me on this planet to do.
Absolutely.
That's a huge, huge spell. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's huge. That's so, and here I was thinking you were just like saying abracadabra or something. Like,
I mean, that's a whole different ritual, actually.
I love that. So basically, if we were to hear your internal dialogue, it wouldn't just be a sentence or two. It would be you shifting dimensions, shifting reality, and stepping through a veil where the gym becomes a training ground for you to sharpen yourself.
Yes. Whether it's the Morrigan or sometimes when I'm at the gym, it's like, okay, I am going to embody my future self who has reached all of these goals. How does she feel? How does she act? Oh, she wouldn't skip that last set. Shit. Okay. I guess I'm going to do it.
Oh, that hits so hard. I felt that in my heart. Oh yeah. Okay, fine. I got it. Okay. Clue by four accepted. I got it. Please don't hurt me. Okay. I love that. That's incredible. Okay. So what piece of advice or phrase or saying changed this approach for you? Like, was it something that the Morrigan said to you that changed your approach? Was it something you read or just an amalgamation of things?
Well, I think for me, it comes back to that athlete mindset, which I think when people don't have a competition in mind, this isn't as easy to tap into. But for me, when I decided to start bodybuilding, you know, this was before I called myself a witch. I was very much in the broomstick closet, ignoring my magic. But when I decided to do a competition, I was visualizing myself on stage. And anytime I didn't want to do the workout or anytime I didn't want to stick to the diet, I would then visualize myself on stage and be like, no, that is my goal. And this is what we call like leading yourself by desire. I wanted to be on this stage. I desired to do well at the fitness competition. Whereas most people, when they go on the health journey, they are like beating themselves with a stick of saying, like, I don't like the way that I look, so I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to punish myself for what I ate yesterday, so I'm going to go to the gym. But that punishment type of mindset doesn't stick in the long term because then eventually you're like, ah, oh, fuck it, it's fine. But when you're the kind of person where you lead yourself by desire, even if you don't have the fitness competition, where you can connect, let's say, your business goals or your career goals or your relationship goals and how you're going to feel, and seeing yourself as that person, that helps you to lead yourself by desire, which is a much deeper form of motivation. And you can continue to show up for that future version of yourself instead of running away from a version of yourself you don't like.
Right. So being pulled towards instead of pushed away.
Yes.
That's amazing. So this actually begs a question for me, and I've experienced it myself. I've also had clients that have experienced it in other arenas. What would you say, or what would you advise in the realm of spells on ourselves to somebody who, because it's, let me rephrase. It sounds like you're describing a full sensory visualization manifestation where the person is seeing how they would see in that room or on that stage and feeling how it feels to walk through the door and smelling the air in the room and tasting the food in the room and touching, you know, all five senses, et cetera, which is a lovely, lovely tool for visualization and manifestation. You did that with visualizing the stage. What would you advise someone who maybe they've been overweight forever and they cannot literally see in their mind's eye any other image except the image they see? What kind of spell should they craft?
So this is why I have all of my clients work with guides. Whether
Mm.
they call it like whether it's an angel guide, a pagan deity, a spirit guide named Bob or Alice, right? Whatever it is,
Right.
that's why that's so important. Because in the realm of traumas, I have clients where they cannot even visualize their future self. Because they did not
Yeah.
visualize that they would be able to live this long in their lives for some reason or
Yes.
another.
Yes.
And
I get that.
so, in that same scenario of where people can't even visualize themselves being a version of themselves that's healthy, that's in a smaller body or whatever, working with guides because they will help you in the meantime when you cannot visualize that future self. And I've seen with clients, like with this specific example, a client who could not visualize her future self because she didn't think she was going to be alive. Where through
Right.
working with Aphrodite and some of her guides like Hecate, she is now able to visualize her future self. I mean, not too far
Wow.
into the future, right? But little glimpses here and there.
Right.
And so they will tell you what you need to hear. They'll kind of be that interim and almost like the pathway home to you trusting yourself and being able to see a future for yourself.
Oh, that's a download right there. So I got the image. This is probably not related, although I saw Wicked not too long ago. I got a Ruby Slippers visualization where we all know the story. Dorothy had it in her all along. She didn't believe, she didn't know, it was too overwhelming. She had to go through her hero's journey, et cetera. And she really had it with her all along. It wasn't really the shoes. But what you're describing is like the guides are the ruby slippers, and you're handing some of that trust over to them, and sort of giving that trust over so that they can then guide you to returning home to your own self guidance.
Yes, because when we think about guides as part of, let's say, the collective unconscious, that they are part of the collective unconscious, the collective subconscious, things that we can all tap into, then they are also a part of us. And so they are a slight externalization, right? They both are part of us and they're both also powerful guides that when we're trusting them in a roundabout way, because it's the collective unconscious psychologically, we are still trusting ourselves by trusting guides.
I love that. I love that. It's you helping us figure out a loophole to trust ourselves.
Yes.
When we are so scared, maybe we're even frozen and we don't have the courage sometimes to trust ourselves. So you're basically everybody's Merlin is what you are.
Yes.
Or Morgaine, I should say. Or maybe both. I love that because that's really what ends up happening in every hero's journey, right? There's always a Glinda or a Merlin or, you know, some sage that gives you this wisdom, gives you your tools, your advice, your Gandalf, and says, no, actually don't go that way. Go this way. And, you know, and it's, I love that. That's so lovely. Amazing.
Thank you.
Awesome. So one last kind of fitness witchcraft related question. Can you give me any kind of example or a fun story where you saw this really happen in real time? I would love to hear.
Okay. So once upon a time, the Morrigan told me that I needed to teach a program on just helping people connect with their spirit guides for the reasons that we've been talking about. Right. And I was like, oh, this doesn't seem logical. I don't think anyone's going to sign up. Like,
I'm crazy. I'm by myself.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to listen. And I threw up like a bare bones website. Like, I was like, this is probably going to be a 2-hour workshop, cheap. I was like, no one's going to buy. People immediately started buying. And I was like, oh shit, now I guess I have to coach this. I was thinking like, if I just put it up there, no one was going to buy. I wouldn't have to do it. people started buying. And what was originally planned to just be a single workshop turned into a multiple week course. And again, I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. And there was someone in the program who was interested in fitness witchcraft, but they'd had a history of binge eating disorder. And so they were very concerned and like worried that maybe Emily's just going to tell me that I have to lose weight and that's going to trigger my eating disorder and I'm going to, you know, et cetera. And so she joined my spirit guide program because she was like, oh, this looks like this might be a good place to start because it's not talking about dieting or weight loss. And this girl had Aphrodite come in for her. And we weren't talking about weight loss at all. We weren't talking about nutrition. We weren't talking about fitness. We were talking about guides. And the week after Aphrodite came in for her, she sent a win to our group that said, guys, every Friday I schedule a binge and I buy multiple things on DoorDash, multiple meals. And I was sitting down and I was eating my food. And as I was starting to get full, I felt Aphrodite come in and tell me that I could stop. And she stopped. And when she sent that win to me, I just like got full body chills. And I was like, this is why I was meant to teach this program. Because here is someone who had been experiencing binge eating disorder, like had worked with dietitians, had worked with therapists, and was gaining weight every single year and like felt completely out of control. And Aphrodite came in and helped her to start stopping. And that was kind of when it like hit me and shocked me and like, oh, I was worried that people were going to think I was crazy for working with guides, but that wasn't what I needed to be worried about at all, because this is having so much more of a deeper impact than I ever believed that it could.
Wow. Wow. That's so powerful. So how long ago was that? Have you had any updates from her since then?
Yes. So after that, she did end up joining my program, the Warrior Goddess program,
because she realized.
And yeah, she was able to release binge eating. And because of that, she was actually able to get below 300 pounds for the first time in her life. And
oh my God.
And it was all like, she wasn't specifically trying to diet. It was just through releasing the binge eating. And really, it was all Aphrodite helping her with self-love, because the binge eating for her was a form of self-harm and self-hate. And so Aphrodite was really teaching her how to love herself and how to take care of herself, so that she started cooking meals. So she started showing up for herself. And really, that to me is cultivating a much deeper level of health than just the surface level weight loss.
Do you feel like that seems to be the center of a lot of the work that you do, that it's not just how much you can bench or just working with a guide, that it all ends up revolving around how much more people can love themselves?
Yes. And so with the methodology of fitness witchcraft, the way that we tackle things is We go from a bottom-up approach. So we really start with like the subconscious mind and the nervous system and creating much deeper health there. So that does involve self-talk. That involves releasing triggers and releasing anxiety. And from there's so much less self-sabotage that happens with emotional overeating, emotional spending. Like if the anxiety is gone and you don't have that like constant tension in your body, that's when today, I was so excited when we got on this call. I had two more clients tell me that they released PCOS. That their doctors, yes, that their doctors did the hormone test. Two more. Okay. So this is the third one in the last couple of months, because when the subconscious mind and the nervous system actually impact your hormones and metabolism. And so
Right.
by taking this deeper approach to health, I'm not giving them nutrition protocols. I'm not giving them supplements. They're doing
Right.
deeper work with their subconscious mind and creating safety in their nervous system. And that is, of course, rippling up into their physical health.
That's unbelievable. Just
Right?
as a, like a side note, like any woman listening knows how not seriously a doctor takes PCOS anyway in the Western sick care system. Like that's incredible. That's a level of self-empowerment. I'm shocked.
Yeah,
Wow.
and they're shocked too. They're like, I never believed this would ever be possible. Emily, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, welcome.
That's incredible. That's so beautiful. So, if you have any advice, anything that you could share, just a beautiful, on top of everything else you've shared, if you could share any piece of wisdom that you think could really shift people's course and help them come up with a lovely spell for themselves, what would you say?
So, in line with the name of your podcast, Spells on Ourselves, is that your beliefs and the way that you talk to yourself actually has more of a physical impact on your health than actually even genetics does. Because there's a study that's been done on genetics where they told a random group of people that they had an obesity gene, and they told another random group of people that they didn't have an obesity gene, regardless of whether they did or not. And that actually impacted both their hunger hormones and their metabolism. And so the people who
Wow.
believed that they had bad genetics and were obese, their metabolisms actually slowed down and they were hungrier, meaning they were going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so even at like the level of genetics, the way that you
Wow.
talk to yourself, the reasons why you tell yourself you can't lose weight because of this or because of that, you are going to make that true because like we are just starting to understand the subconscious mind, like, and how much of an impact that has on real physical health. Like all of
Yeah.
those things are spells, even if the chronic pain is very real, even if PCOS, your hormones are fucked up, like there are ways to release those things. And so don't let it be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. All right, people. I hope everyone has been taking notes. I hope you have downloaded this episode. I hope you have shared it with literally every human being on earth that you know. And then play it on repeat for the next 30 days because we know we need to build habits. I have to thank you, Emily. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been so tremendous. I'm so selfish. I got to listen to you talk for almost an hour. I love it. I now have a ton of homework I have to do. So I accept that. And yes, I will very likely end up in your program by the end of the year. Please, God, all things be equal. And, really, just so incredibly grateful. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing this incredibly new and yet old and fascinating modality that you've found slash reinvented slash found. I adore it. And I, for what it's worth, I send you every possible blessing of only success, only good things, only positive outcomes in the most revealed way for the highest possible good. And I hope that in your corner of the world, that you change that world.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks, everyone. And I look forward to casting a spell on you soon. Bye. Can I share a secret with you? Not everything deserves your energy. You don't have to hold on to what hurt you. You don't have to give weight to what wasn't meant for you. Your peace is worth more. Let it go. Your energy is precious. Use it for what matters.